Luke 24, 13 to 35 from the Message. That same day, two of them were walking to the village Emmaus, about 7 miles out of Jerusalem. They were deep in conversation, going over all these things that had happened, and in the middle of their talk and questions, Jesus came up and walked along with them. But they were not able to recognize who he was. He asked, "What's this you're discussing so intently as you walk along?" They just stood there, long-faced, like they had lost their best friend. Then one of them, his name was Cleopas, said, "Are you the only one in Jerusalem who hasn't heard what's happened during the last few days?" He said, "What has happened?" They said, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene. He was a man of God, a prophet, dynamic in work and word, blessed by both God and all the people. Then our high priests and leaders betrayed him, got him sentenced to death, and crucified him. And we had our hopes that he was the one about to deliver Israel. And it is now the third day since it happened. But now some of our women have completely confused us. Early this morning they were at the tomb and couldn't find his body. They came back with the story that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of our friends went off to the tomb to check and found it empty, just as the woman said. But they didn't see Jesus. Then he said to them, 'So thick-headed, so slow-hearted, why can't you simply believe all that the prophet said? Don't you see that these things had to happen? That the Messiah had to suffer and only then enter into his glory?' Then he started at the beginning with the book of Moses and went on through all the prophets, pointing out everything in the scriptures that referred to him. They came to the edge of the village where they were headed. He acted as if he was going on, but they pressed him, 'Stay and have supper with us. It's nearly evening, the day is done.' So he went in with them, and here is what happened. He sat down at the table with them. Taking the bread, he blessed and broke and gave it to them. At that moment, open-eyed, wide-eyed, they recognized him, and then he disappeared. Back and forth they talked. 'Didn't we feel on fire as he conversed with us on the road, as he opened the scriptures for us?' They didn't waste a minute. They were up and on their way back to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and their friends gathered together talking away. 'It's really happened. The Master has been raised up. Simon saw him.' Then the two went over everything that had happened on the road and how they recognized him when he broke the bread." This is the word of God.
Thank you so much, Gail. So, as many of you know, I try and spend quite a bit of time and trying to understand as much as I can of the context in Jesus' day. And the great benefit of that is that if one's able to understand what was going on in the world then one's able to understand more of the impact Jesus had then. And then understanding the impact he had then becomes a launch from which we can understand the impact he could have for us today. And that's a very important aspect of reflecting on Scripture, praying, and seeking to be a disciple today. And in keeping with that, I was doing some work in preparing for today. And in doing that work, and this is obviously a passage I've preached on before, but I was doing some fresh digging. In doing that work, I discovered something that was a real game changer. a real game changer in understanding this resurrection appearance of Jesus. And I want to share it with you and then reflect on the impact this resurrection appearance had then and what it may mean for us today. And so this is what I discovered. At the time of Jesus, there was a story doing the rounds that had actually made it into one of the Roman historians' books already, Livy, who was a first century BC historian and was busy making itself into another first century AD historian, Plutarch, the story of a resurrection appearance of Romulus on a road outside of Rome. That story was well known at the time of Jesus. And I want to tell you that story so that your minds may be somewhat filled with what was common knowledge in the Roman Empire then, and then to try and appreciate that this resurrection appearance of Jesus, how it relates to that story, how it would have presented itself as an opposing story to this resurrection story. And then we're able to understand what Luke, the Gospel according to Luke, was doing then and what it may mean for us today. So at the time of Jesus, there was a denarius. You've heard of denarius. It comes up in the Gospels quite a few times. Of Romulus, and this denarius, and I'll say something more about it just now, something specific, but this shows that Romulus was viewed as divine. He was viewed as a god. And so the denarius currency at the time proclaimed Romulus as divine. Who was Romulus? Romulus was a very important person for the people of the Roman Empire. First, he was important for Rome. He lived many years before this, in this about 700 years before Jesus. He is the first king of Rome. So this is long before Roman Empire, long before Roman state or anything like that. Just Rome itself. But under his leadership, Rome became enormously strong, and it was the start of what would eventually, centuries later, lead to the Roman Empire. So this is kind of the start of the upward trajectory of Rome itself. Romulus is credited to be the originator of the legal, political, religious, military, and social institutions of Rome. So a very important person, and as it was then, when somebody was very important, they ended up being called God or Son of God, and myths and legends would develop about them. And the relevant one is a myth. It's not a true story, of course, but the following was the myth. Now remember, the myths then were developed in order to give you a certain kind of belief, that you could live with a certain belief, and the belief that they wanted you to live with through this myth of Romulus will become clear in a moment. So Romulus had died. He had probably been killed by other leaders of Rome, and then they can't find his body. His body disappears, and Rome is in turmoil because of the disappearance of Romulus's body. On the same day of that discovery, at the end of the day, Romulus appears to a man, a leading citizen of Rome, who's walking to Rome, a man by the name of Proculus. Proculus. Proculus in archaic Latin means proclaimer. That's very important in this story, proclaimer. Romulus appears in glory and splendor, a very impressive display of glory and splendor, magnificent. And Romulus explains to Proculus the secrets of the kingdom. What are the secrets of the kingdom? This is important. They are how to conquer and rule the world. How to conquer and rule the world. Romulus also then tells Proculus that he actually is now the god Quirinus. Quirinus. Quirinus was one of the old Roman gods of war. So the myths that would then also go on to develop would be how Romulus was the incarnation of the god Quirinus, the Roman war god. And that is what this denarius coin shows, is Quirinus is Romulus. When I discovered this, I went to, because you can do it online, you can actually read 1st century BC historian Livy, you can access it, you can read 1st century AD Plutarch, and in Livy I read this of what they said Romulus said to Proculus. Hear this. Romulus says to Proculus, who means proclaimer, so he's got to pass this on, tell the Romans that it is the will of heaven that my Rome should be the head of all the world. Let them henceforth cultivate the arts of war, and let them know assuredly and hand down the knowledge to posterity that no human might can withstand the arms of Rome. No human might can stand the war machine of Rome. Now appreciate that these myths would have been particularly developed when Rome had become an empire. Not immediately at the time of Romulus, this would have taken centuries later. But it was by the time of the 1st century BC and 1st century AD a well-known story. Proculus does go on to spread the news, and Livy records that it was tremendously soothing to Roman soldiers to know that God had decided that they should rule the world. Now, put yourself in the shoes of those who are being evangelized by these early Jesus movement disciples. Say the church which Luke is leading. And Luke is very keen that Gentiles of the Roman Empire, in other words, non-Jews, he's very keen that they join the Jesus movement. And he knows that they live by the myths and legends of Romulus that said that the Roman Empire should by war and domination rule the world. And he wants them to see the kingdom of God as a rival kingdom to the Roman Empire, with different beliefs and different values. And so in writing this resurrection appearance, he makes the comparison very clear so that nobody is in doubt that they must choose. They must choose which beliefs are they going to live by. The beliefs of war, violence, and domination, or the beliefs of the kingdom that Jesus brings. And so I think the following would have been very clear for them. It is the cross bearer versus the cross builder. Rome were the cross builders. The crucifixion system was state terror. It was the terrorism of the state. It was the way the state brought terror to the hearts of people to make sure they didn't oppose Rome. Theirs was the way of war and of domination. The way of the kingdom, though, Jesus makes clear, is the way of the suffering servant. And we hear this as they walk along the road to Emmaus, that Jesus unpacks the scriptures to them, Moses and the prophets, and said it's always been there that God's way is the way of the suffering servant, and it has been fulfilled in me, Jesus. And so it's always been there. He makes it clear for them. And you need to make a choice. Now for us today, I said this helps us, and appreciating the impact then helps us appreciate the impact now. There are many aspects of suffering that we face. South Africa is in a crisis. There are hardships, there's suffering, there are difficulties that we face on a daily basis. And you also in your own life may have particular difficulties you're facing, hardships, burden news you have to bear, loved ones perhaps going through really difficult times and you having to be there for them. And it's the full fulfillment of those marriage vows, for better, for worse, in sickness and in health. Or perhaps there is a turmoil within for you, a battle with anxiety, depression, fears. You know you're not well. There are many hardships, and I could go on, that we face. Of encouragement for us in the facing of suffering is that God doesn't cause the suffering to us. It's not that God wants suffering, but accepting the suffering that is part of being faithful and true and loving is the way of Christ. And if I can take it back, for example, to the South African example, that if we can endure on, persevere on, through all of these difficulties, holding on to that which is good, that which is true, that which is beautiful, that which is loving, then when the time comes that the evil collapses, which it must, and there is the looking around for solutions, then we would be there, having persevered with that which is good and beautiful and true and right and loving. We would have persevered, and we can show the way forward. And so suffering love then becomes the way to transform an ungodly situation. And that is the way of Christ. At the center of our faith is the one whose body was broken. And that is why this resurrection appearance of Jesus culminates with something that wasn't anywhere near the Romulus story, in that Jesus goes into the home and breaks the bread. And at the moment of the breaking of the bread, they recognize it's Jesus. And so there's that incredible connection for us with communion, that in the breaking of the bread, we experience Jesus. In communion, we experience Jesus. But at the heart of that is the breaking of Jesus' body, which is at the heart of our faith, the way of the cross bearer in the world of cross builders. I said this earlier, and let's just spend a moment thinking about it. This really does make one choose between the Roman Empire or the kingdom of God, or made them choose then. Palestine, of course, was conquered by the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire at the time of Jesus was at the height of its strength. It looked immovable. It looked invincible. And the stories that were going around was that the God had decided they should rule the world. And so people thought, well, might is right. Let us collaborate. Let us join forces. Let us abide. But Jesus offers the kingdom of God. His whole ministry was about saying God's reign has begun, and through our participation we can spread that reign. And so Luke is wanting it to be clear that this reign of God and the goodness that comes with God's reign must spread, but there needs to be collaboration, there needs to be participation. It needs to spread. And so he wants people who will spread it. There's a remarkable parallel with the Romulus story. Remember, the person is called Proculus in the Romulus story. There are two disciples in the story of the road to Emmaus. Only one is named Cleopas. Now, we don't know his name. We don't meet his name anywhere else. He's not one of the 12. And this story even makes clear he's not one of the 12. Proculus in archaic Latin means proclaimer. Cleopas in Greek essentially is proclaimer. Cleo is to make famous, to tell of the glory of the Father, Cleopas. And the Father, of course, is God. So the glory of the Father is in the Jesus message, and we're called to honor that, to be participative, to be collaborative in the kingdom of God, because in the kingdom values is where hope is really for the world, not in the values of the Roman Empire, which were the values of war, whereas in the kingdom, it's the value of justice. In the Roman Empire, it's the value of domination, and that's what that appearance of Romulus made clear. It's servant love, loving service in the kingdom of God. It's prosperity in the Roman Empire. It's sharing in the kingdom of God. It is domination and the causing of suffering in the Roman Empire. It is the priority of the upliftment of suffering ones in the kingdom of God. A key feature of Jesus' appearance that's so different from the Romulus one is that in Romulus, he's magnificent and glorious. In Jesus, he's hidden. They don't recognize that it's Jesus. And there's so much truth about the kingdom there in that sometimes we don't realize the kingdom is amongst us. We can focus on what's difficult and we miss that God is at work in society. And the great news of the resurrection appearances, if you want to draw a golden thread between them all, is saying believing is seeing, not seeing is believing. Believing is saying, believe Jesus is alive, and then you will have spectacles with which to look around you and see Jesus is indeed alive. Good does triumph over evil. Love is more lasting than hate, and so one can go on. One starts to see it. And that's the whole point of Jesus appearing on this road to Emmaus, is to open their eyes, that they may see things that were always there in their scriptures, in the life of Jesus that they had been disciples of. Here they are now blind and confused. So he's opening their eyes to things that they've seen with their physical eyes but haven't had insight to. And that's what Jesus does for us, is to open our eyes to have insight into what's really going on in life and the spread of the kingdom of God. There's an interesting distinction that's actually very important. In the appearance of Romulus, the Proculus is walking towards Rome. In the appearance of Jesus, Cleopas and the other disciple are walking away from the capital, in this case, Jerusalem. And it's relevant because Rome wanted to centralize everything in the capital, and Jesus wants everything to spread from Jerusalem out to the ends of the world. And that's a feature of all the resurrection appearances, is the sending. Go to Galilee, spread the good news in Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the world. The spreading out. Now here is something quite remarkable. Luke, who's the only one who has this appearance narrative, if you look at Luke, his gospel closely, and his sequel, which is Acts, you will see Luke has a real agenda to spread the good news to Gentiles. So in other words, Romans and other Gentiles who made up Greeks, who made up the Roman Empire. That's his agenda. And if one sees how that's his intention and the vector, as it were, that Luke sets up in his gospel, saying that the good news must reach the Gentiles, we see that very clearly in Acts. And in fact, Acts ends. Go home and have a look at how Acts ends. It ends with Paul in Rome. So this has gone from Jerusalem all the way to Rome. I could have almost called this All Roads Lead to Rome, but that would have given the wrong impression. But it ends in Rome with Paul proclaiming and debating with Jews who are not getting it and realizing that the citizens of Rome, the people of Rome, the Gentiles, are going to get the good news. Now by then, this resurrection appearance story was well known, and people were comparing. And Paul is saying, this is what the kingdom of God is all about. Respond to Jesus, who is the hope of the world. As I said, this is a vector that Luke sets up. Of all the vectors set up by the different gospel writers, Luke is the one whose vector turns out to be correct, to be the most fruitful. Because by the time we get to the 4th century, Christianity becomes the official religion of the Roman Empire. That was very much a for better for worse thing. There was stuff that wasn't good about it. But then we have the coins with Jesus on, and the coins of the pagan gods left behind. So many in Rome, eventually the emperor himself, chooses the Jesus movement. I felt on fire when I was discovering all of this week. I really did. It was a game changer. It took this appearance of Jesus to another level of significance. The story ends with those disciples saying, "Were not our hearts on fire?" Or as NRSV says it, "Did not our hearts burn within us?" This bodily experience of the significance of Jesus is another important aspect to experiencing Jesus alive, continuing to lead the Jesus movement even today. Amen. Amen. Amen.